You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Idaho legislature will gavel into session today after Governor Brad Little delivers his State of the State address at 1 p.m. So if you are listening to us live right now at noon, we will carry the governor's speech right after this program today. So be sure to tune in for that. Now, we can tell you it is going to be a big year for lawmakers because they are gathering in person during a pandemic. And we know that when indoors, the pandemic can be dangerous, in particular if you choose not to wear a mask. But before the lawmakers meet in committee rooms to begin their work, we are checking in with our State House reporter, James Dawson. He spoke with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, who started by asking him about the enhanced security measures in place at the State House this year. Let's take a listen.
We have to talk about security first and the big what if question. What if something happens? And in the shadow of the events of last week, I'm assuming that lawmakers and law enforcement are maybe rewriting or revisiting some of their safety protocols. Jimmy, could you remind a layperson about Idaho State Police and their presence at the Capitol?
Sure. So the Idaho Capitol is kind of its own special universe, if you want, in the Idaho political realm. You know, it's the people who oversee it are mostly the legislators, and the law enforcement authority over the Capitol grounds and the Capitol building are with the state police. And we saw last year during the August special session, you know, they can bring in other law enforcement agencies to help them when they think it's necessary. And it was an expensive price tag for the taxpayers of Idaho. So the state police, actually the bill for them for that, you know, 3-day special session or so was $78,000, and then another $69,000 for Boise police, who helped kind of maintain a presence there in downtown Boise. So almost $150,000 was spent on law enforcement presence there. It's unclear.
Just for a few days.
Yeah, just for a few days. So will that be the, you know, the same kind of presence that we'll see for a legislative session that usually lasts about 3 months? We don't really know.
It's fair to say, though, don't you think, in the first few days, if not the first couple of weeks, that security will be at the top of most people's thoughts, and maybe more than a few of us will have questions about how safe the State House will be?
You would imagine so, especially with, you know, the pretty strong response I've seen, you know, in the, you know, across the country, really, as to how prepared was Capitol Police to handle last week's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember which paper I saw this specifically, but, you know, at best, they were overwhelmed and underestimated the size of the mob that broke in and stormed the Capitol. And at worst, you know, they're thinking, you know, possibly some officers stood aside and possibly even acquiesced to the rioters' demands.
Well, let's talk about the state of the state. Even a casual observer knows that it's a shoulder-to-shoulder event, usually, at the Capitol. How in the world are they going to do this? I have to assume that a number of the usual attendees won't be there, and the House and Senate all in one room, some judges, et cetera.
They are spacing it out a little bit. So in what, as far as I can tell, would be a first, Governor Brad Little will be delivering his State of the State address from the Lincoln Auditorium, which, if you're not familiar with the Capitol layout, that is kind of in the basement on the edge of a wing of the Capitol, and it will be broadcast into the House and Senate chambers where lawmakers can watch it. So there will be distancing in that manner, but again, House and Senate have control over their own chambers and they haven't really enforced any kind of distancing or mandated masks on the floor. So that will be up to each individual lawmaker as to their individual choice for that.
And I'm glad you brought that up. While the city of Boise and Ada County has a face mask public health order, remind us how the legislature doesn't necessarily have to abide by that.
Yeah, and this is where what I said earlier about the Capitol kind of being its own separate universe from everything that surrounds it comes into play, which is that the legislature, the House and Senate, have control over much of the building, which is what we saw with the lot back and forth lawsuit with State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth and whether or not she could actually occupy her space in the Capitol. Basically, the legislature has given control over parts of the second floor where Governor Brad Little's office is to him. But other than that, they have full control over the hearing rooms and the chambers themselves. And so that's why if someone who might have been watching the special session in August, if they were wondering, well, why are there so many people packed into these rooms so tightly and without masks? That's why, is because the legislature chose not to enforce the distancing measures that staff had set up for the legislative session. There were pieces of paper taped to every other chair saying, please leave this open for social distancing. Those got ripped down and nothing was ever enforced. The legislature also declined to put in a mask mandate.
And very quickly, you can do a head count of who's in favor of a face mask.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Among the lawmakers. Well, here's the other big what if. What happens if there's an outbreak of COVID-19 at the Capitol?
The best answer is we don't know because there is no policy in place for that. I spoke with House Speaker Scott Bedke before the end of the year trying to figure out what was going on with this. And he told, I asked him what kind of policy is in place or would be in place by the time the legislature convenes to either maybe notify the public or even just other members of the legislature if they had potentially been exposed to someone who had contracted COVID-19. And he told me that there was no policy. It's basically on each individual lawmaker to either choose to get tested in the first place. They're not requiring them to get tested before they all come to Boise or get vaccinated. That's certainly something that they're not mandating either. But he basically wanted to rely on people's personal responsibility to stay home if they feel sick. I asked him, well, what about asymptomatic people? And he said, well, we just, rely again on the policy of good graces and manners.
Wow. Let's talk about legislation. What are you looking for this session?
Plenty. You've always got the hemp issue in the back pocket, right? With so many different moving parts to that, and it's failed in many of the past previous sessions.
Is it your sense, though, that can has been kicked down the road a little further?
I'm not sure. Law enforcement and the prosecutorial lobbyists are pretty strong. They're a strong presence in the Capitol, and really it seems like those are the people and the interest groups that you have to convince to get something passed in the state as it relates to hemp. I don't know if that has been met yet. And usually these bills, especially last year, came out pretty late and with compromises or at least attempted compromises rearing their heads very late into the session. So I wouldn't necessarily expect anything until later. Then, of course, you have what we saw from the August special session with the House successfully trying to, well, successful in their chamber anyway. Mm-hmm. They were not overall successful, but they attempted to lift the emergency declaration for the coronavirus pandemic, kicked it to the Senate, and the Senate rejected it. But they also passed their own resolution that outlined exactly what they wanted to come back and discuss during this session, which involves potentially curbing Governor Brad Little's executive authority during an emergency, which potentially could be, well, he can have some kind of an emergency declaration and his powers valid for, 30 days or so, but then he must call the legislature back in. They want to discuss some kind of mechanism to let the legislature call itself back into session, which is not currently possible under law. Governor Brad Little has to do that himself. You've got other lawmakers who want to rein in the powers of the 7 public health districts across the state, which have had the responsibility of dealing with the coronavirus pandemic since summer after Governor Brad Little gave it over to them. They want to potentially, at least some of them want to potentially curb their authority as it relates to, shutting down schools or implementing mask mandates.
How will the pandemic change how you and your fellow journalists cover this year's session?
Yeah, it's up to each individual newsroom. As for myself, I am covering it completely remotely. That's a personal decision, as some in my household are immune compromised. Mm-hmm. So I will not be exposing myself to that. Other newsrooms, they're part-time. and covering the most important things that they see as being necessary to do in person. And some are doing it full time. Not a whole lot of them, but you know, we're anticipating at least some usage of the Capitol press room for sure.
Wow. So I know that's an inside baseball question, but you're saying that there will be a press room.
There will be. Yeah, I am a member of the Capitol Correspondents Association.
Well, yeah, but I'm just talking about this particular session, and I'm just thinking about X number of bodies in one room.
Yeah, well, we're trying to limit it as much as possible. And it doesn't seem like we'll hit that. Most of the newsrooms we've talked to said that they're not going to send anyone down or at least extremely limit it. So it doesn't seem like there will be much of a media presence there physically. However, I can assure you that we will be monitoring all the video feeds. Speaking of which, the Legislative Services Office did install cameras in each of the committee rooms this year. So some committee hearings that had previously only been accessible via audio will now have video components as well.
And again, that is thanks to the good graces also of Idaho Public Television.
Who runs that? Yes. The funding came from LSO. But yes, Idaho Public Television will be hosting that and doing all the normal video magic that they usually do.
I would imagine their ratings or whatever metric that they use will never be higher than it is this year.
Yeah.
State of the state, 1 p.m., yes?
Yes, sir.
And the governor will unveil a budget today, a proposed budget.
He will, yes. We will learn more about that. You know, the state of the state is kind of the high level, governing in prose, I guess, if you want, whereas the budget is clearly showing what kind of priorities he really has. We'll get a look at that just barely before the State of the State address, not much time before that. And then we'll get to ask him questions at 2 p.m.
Well, appointment listening for all of us on this program are your reports through the session. Thank you for giving us some time on what promises to be an extremely busy day. He is Jimmy Dawson, our State House reporter, Supreme. Jimmy, and I truly mean this, good luck.
You're very kind, George. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You too.
And that was our George Prentice speaking with James Dawson. You can expect to hear more from Jimmy on this program as the legislative session kicks off today. Up next, getting more funding for early childhood education here in Idaho. More Idaho Matters next.